Hey, hi, you are listening to Trading Pages, the sisterly podcast where we challenge each other to read books we would normally never, ever pick up at the bookstore. We share an immense love for books.
Just maybe not that book. Each week, we give each other a new book to tackle and then come together to discuss what we liked, what we didn't like, and who knows, maybe we'll even find something we love.
Hey, I'm Allie, and I'm the older sister.
And I'm Bronwyn, the younger sister, but not the youngest sister. She gets to sleep in her own room while Allie and I shared the basement growing up.
Whatever.
Sorry. Whatever.
I'm gonna cut that out. What is wrong with
No, you're not. I'm editing this episode. No, you're fucking not. Keep going.
I hate you so much.
Keep going.
This is going.
We are recording 45 minutes late, Allie. Keep going.
Thanks for joining us on our adventure. Stop. I'm trying. I hate you so much right now. Thanks for joining us in our adventures in season 2 of Trading Pages.
Thanks to our mom for sponsoring this episode. She didn't give us any money. She just uses my anime knowledge as her own personal street cred with her students. This week, we are going to be talking about Fruits Basket by Natsuki Takaya and Welcome to Border Town, edited by Polly Black and Ellen Kushner and written by various authors.
Thanks for joining us.
Wow. If the opening take that we just did
is any indication
of how this episode is going to go. I mean, like, Allie and I both are, like, drinking caffeine right now, so you're just going to see our, like, descent into, like, caffeine high. Like, and more chaotic as the episode goes on.
I know. Well, it's like, I should have realized, because we don't usually specifically make tea before we record, and now I am realizing exactly why that is.
I usually will drink, like, my morning tea, like, but I don't necessarily drink, like, caffeinated tea as my morning tea. I'll have coffee for that. But this time, I, like, woke up late. Allie was kind of sluggish. So we're just like, hold on, we're going to make tea before we start.
Like, yeah. Well, and, like, it's very cold. It just snows. I mean, it snows all the fucking time in Idaho, so this is nothing new for you. But it has not snowed in Maryland. Like, we haven't had actual snowfall in this area in over 740 days. So basically, everyone's freaking out. It's freezing cold. There's just, like, a dusting of snow on the ground. My kids went outside to make the saddest little snowman. They're like, do you want to go play in the snow? And I'm like, no, I would like to stay inside and make hot tea. So that's exactly what I did. And because I was excited when you said you were making your tea. So I was like, ooh, I will go make one of my fun teas because I just got a new coffee maker because my old one died. Sad. No, it's not sad. I got a super cool new coffee maker, so I'm quite happy. But it also makes tea. So I'm drinking a very yummy chocolate pu'er from Numi Tea. It tastes a lot more like a chai with, like, a little bit of a chocolate flavor to it. But that is the tea that I'm drinking this morning.
Oh. Well, see, here is a bit of LGBT culture that I will let you in on that you might not be aware of. It is also snowing lightly where I am.
Nice.
And in Idaho, because that's just what it does. And I am drinking cold tea. I'm drinking iced tea. I drink iced tea and iced coffee essentially year round.
I do too. I'm not gay.
Because I'm,
like,
gay.
I do. Well, so what's my excuse then? Am I more gay than I realize?
I mean, there's always a possibility, but we can talk about that off the podcast. Like, nobody's completely straight, Allie.
I'm only, like, gay for fictional characters.
Oh, Lord. But I'll drink a hot tea or a hot coffee, like, if I am so moved by it.
It's got to be super duper cold for me to drink hot beverages. I typically do iced as well. And even when I do, like, my hot brewed coffee or hot tea at home, I put an obscene amount of half and half or milk in it so that it makes it pretty, not ice.
You got that from mom.
Yeah. It just tastes so good, though, and I don't put any sugar in anything. So I'm like, this is my one vice. I don't put sugar. It's just, like, yummy, yummy half and half in it.
So the tea that I'm drinking is, it actually has been, like, the only tea that I have drank for, like, months since like November, essentially, I was talking to Sarah from Kaiju Coffee Break. Speaking of which, like, we're coming for your brand. We're not talking about what coffee we're drinking. But we're talking about what tea we're drinking. We're coming for you. Sarah of Kaiju Coffee Break. And I was talking to her and I was like, man, I just really like, I want bubble tea so bad.
Oh my gosh, I miss bubble tea. There's nowhere good to get it out here.
And if there's nowhere in Maryland, there's absolutely nowhere in Idaho. And Sarah kind of was like, well, you can like get it online and make it yourself.
It's so hard to make the bobas.
No, it is not. Let me tell you, that is a lie. It is not hard to make the bobas.
I made bobas when I worked at that tea place.
That is a lie that you have been told. Yeah, okay, but like you can get instant boba. The only thing is that like you have to essentially want boba right then. Like you have to open the package and want that whole package of boba right then. But
that's not a problem.
So
for me, that's not the problem.
I mean, I didn't think it would be a problem for me too, but like it's like rice where like you make one cup and it becomes like huge.
A billion, yeah.
But so when you normally make boba, you have to like hydrate it and then rehydrate it and then like, there's 500 steps. But if you get boba that is the one step away from being rehydrated, all that you have to do is boil the boba for 4 minutes and then put it in cold water for two, and then you can add whatever sweetening that you want, like brown sugar or honey or whatever, but it's already pretty sweet because it's on its last step. And it's actually like it doesn't save. Like it does not save.
No.
Once you open the bag, once you make your boba, it does not save. But I have been
That's
like,
always been true for boba. It's a very finicky kind of a thing. Oh my gosh, so did you buy boba?
Yes. And then I told Dad that I wanted boba for Christmas and he bought me more. Exactly. I was like, buy me this one. So I have like a fuck ton of boba.
We're gonna have to like put that in the show notes. Not sponsored by this boba company, but like I need to know where this is coming from. I keep getting boba ads, but like I just keep thinking, I'm like, well, I know that it's, you know, an at-home boba kit, but I remember it taking like 2 hours for me to cook a pretty gigantic batch of boba.
I mean, it's not as good. Like, I will say this. Like, there's nothing as good as an actual, like, bubble tea shop.
Yeah.
But though I kind of –
the labor
because
of
I
love.
Had so many. Yeah, because I had so many. Like, I literally at one point had 5 bags of boba. And, like – and over Christmas and like a January, like there was a point where I was just like making fresh boiling boba every morning because you open the bag and it lasts 24 hours. So I was just like constantly making boba. And it's really fun.
We're on the clock. Yeah. You gotta finish making the bobas.
But it's really fun. And so I have just been drinking a whole bunch of boba and I make it iced and I get a bubble tea from like a royal company. Was it called Royal? I think that's the name of the company. But anyway, I get like a powdered milk thing that you can mix with water, but I mix it with black tea because I'm a gremlin. so I just make it like extra caffeinated. I just like the it's pretty. I mean, like, you know, there's nothing that can compare to having bubble tea from a bubble tea shop.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I have not had legitimate bubble tea in forever.
Well, and when you haven't had
it
in a long
much.
Time, like any approximation is like, oh my gosh, it just takes me back. Oh man. And like that was the nicest thing. You know, that was my high school job, was working at the tea place. And I'm pretty sure I lived off of boba. That was my main source of food and calories.
Anytime I went to, like, Alyssa and I, our stepsister, we used to walk, like, literally walk to the T train where Allie used to work. She doesn't, she didn't really work there when we went and visited, but we always went and we always got, like, Alyssa would get, like, a Tapiopico, which is, like a more fruity drink.
Yeah.
And then I would get.
It's similar to, like, an Arnold Palmer because it's, like, fruit. Yeah. Or, sorry, it's, like, lemonade and tea. Yeah.
Yeah, and so, and then I would get, like, a boba. We would always get extra boba balls, and...
Oh, you gotta do extra boba every time. And they're like, oh, you know, it's extra. I'm like, yeah, like, I know guacamole is extra. Lay it on me.
And so we were constantly drink, like, so that's like the drink of our childhood, and I'm just absolutely thrilled to be drinking it near constantly.
That's awesome.
Like, I actually feel like,
of course Sarah would know, like, that. I feel like I go to Sarah now when I need answers to literally anything, because I'm just like, oh, well, I'm sure Sarah will know this. She's like the big sister I never had but really needed.
Like, Sarah, I was doing that literally just this morning. Like, I always make sure, like, I feel like it seems so hokey, but anytime that I talk to Sarah, and I feel like I constantly am like, hey, so in regards to this, what's the, and she, like, just, like, gives me the best answer, like, most descriptive and an easy way to understand. And so I'm always like, thank you so much for taking the time to answer this for me. And she's like, yeah, of course. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. I appreciate you so much.
But, like, I don't know. I just feel like she's filled with all kinds of very interesting knowledge. And that's just something I really appreciate about a person. Like, I was listening to their most recent episode of Kaiju, just, like, while I was driving to work. And she had a segment where she was talking about interesting scientific facts. I have a horrible memory sometimes, so I can't remember exactly what it was, but I just remember being like, wow, that was a really fascinating segment of a bunch of information that I'd never heard before. So I was like, oh my gosh, she's so smart.
She is not only, like, if you have not listened to Kaiju Coffee Break, it is awesome. An absolute joy. It is a joy to listen to. They watch Godzilla movies. Sarah and her husband Lee, they watch Godzilla movies. Lee is a little bit more of the, like, Godzilla fanatic and expert, and Sarah's kind of just along for the ride because she doesn't exactly like movies, but she does like Godzilla. And they discuss the movie, and Sarah has a lot of facts to kind of, you know, about how the movies were made and about the settings and about the different actors, and she just really, like, she delivers them in a very eloquent way that I just, like, could never
could never hope to. She's really knowledgeable about Japanese culture. And honestly, like, before we get into the next segment, like, I'm going to be asking you a lot of questions that coincide with the book that I read. But now looking back, I don't know why I didn't just text Sarah and be like, hey, can you explain these things to me? Because I ended up Googling them, but Sarah probably could have explained it to me better. But yeah, if you haven't listened to Kaiju Coffee Break yet, it's another one of the Pants Penning Studios offerings. And they talk about coffee, they talk about monsters, and then Sarah shares just interesting factoids
And also, Lee is a joy. We should mention this.
Oh, yeah.
Lee is an absolute joy. My other best friend, and he just, like, Lee is sincerely awesome. And anytime that I talk about Lee, the way that I describe him is that, like, there was one point when, like, for my birthday, I think, like, 3 years ago, that I was really, really drunk and watched Yuri on Ice, and he sat there. No, I'm not kidding. He sat there and watched every single episode of Yuri on Ice with me.
What a champ.
And I'm like, and if I tell people that, then they're like, oh yeah, Lee's a good guy.
Well, and we totally forgot to mention him in the last episode. He was there with the video game saga that we went on. He played Among Us. And he played the zombie. And I can't remember if we mentioned that he was there. He was so kind and helpful. And he'd be like, Allie, go this. Always. And I'm like, literally, I don't know what's going on. He'd be like, Allie, go this way. It's okay. Follow me. And he would, like, come back and, like, collect me, like, lead me out of the darkness.
But then Lee has his moments where, like, he's such a menace because, like, he's so quiet. And he'll just, like, he's just gliding through. And then he just, like, he'll do one thing that
didn't
just
call
fucking
a horde? He
called
kills
me.
He called a horde.
No,
on
he us, shot. I went up to that. He was the one where I went up to the computer and I was like, "Oh my god, the computer still works." And he goes, "No, it doesn't." And he shot it. And I was like, "Lee,
You gotta watch out. It's always the quiet ones that, like, just, like, glide along and then, you know, they'll surprise you.
He does that
you.
In Among Us, too, where, like, whatever the energy of the game in Among Us is, he just matches it, but, like, quietly, like, as a quiet menace. And it's just, like, it's fucking great. Like, honestly, Sarah and Lee, super kudos to them. Yeah. I know that they're listening because they're devout listeners, and I love them very much.
So. I don't know if this is weird to say, but I find Lee's voice to be incredibly soothing when I listen to Kaiju. Like, it's just, like, it gives me instant, just, like, calming vibes. Like, it's instant therapy. Yeah. I don't know if that's weird. Sorry, Lee. I'm making it weird.
Let's talk more about how sexy Lee's voice is.
No, I said it was calming, not sexy. I can't call somebody else's husband's voice sexy. It's calming.
I did say sexy.
That's
Sarah,
weird.
I said that Lee's voice is sexy.
Oh my gosh. I cannot claim this whatsoever. It's soothing. It is a soothing. Okay. All right. Is it time to move on?
I think it might be time to move on, but I still say, I mean, we'll let you guys be the judge, please.
Oh, yeah.
Email us at Trading Pages if you think that Lee's voice is sexy.
Better yet, comment on Kaiju Coffee Break on Facebook and on Pants Pending.
Oh my god. I better ask for his permission before I post this episode, or he's gonna be like, literally, did you tell people to message me and tell me that my voice is sexy? And I'd be like, yes.
Hey, any social media interaction is good. Social media interaction.
Sure is. Anyway, I feel like that's a good segue. That's a good segue.
All right, we'll be back
after the break. Okay. And watch our descent into caffeinated madness.
Oh, this is not going well.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I almost said I love you.
I love you.
All right, I love you. Bye.
I love you. Bye.
Alrighty, we're back after our break and after a considerable amount of silly removal. So this week I had Allie read Fruits Basket, which is a Japanese graphic novel, or otherwise known as a manga. And it's essentially about this girl, Toru Honda, and her mom died fairly recently, and her father died when she was younger. And despite that, she still just has this really optimistic personality, and she continues to go to school and go to work. And she ends up meeting these mysterious individuals who, when they're hugged by somebody of the opposite gender, they turn into animals. And shenanigans ensue, and it's a love story, and it's also just absolutely hilarious, and one of the first manga series that I ever finished to completion, and I still own the original mangas that I ever bought from Borders Bookstore.
Oh my gosh, so, does Borders even exist anymore? Poor Borders, may you
no, I
rest
miss
in
Borders.
Peace.
Rip Borders. But it's an absolutely delightful book, and I'm really excited to hear how Allie feels about it, because it feels like it would kind of be more her style of book, with just like, it's just kind of a cheesy romance, and it knows it, and it's very like, it does not try to hide that in any way, shape, or form. Also, it is apparently a shifter novel.
So. Okay, I'm so happy you're admitting this now.
Inadvertently, after Allie guessed shifter for 10 episodes in a row, one time she was actually right, and I'm still salty about it. So, whatever. But, Allie, let's hear what you thought of Fruits Basket.
Okay, so first of all, I gotta get something out of the way before we can get started. I do not have any background understanding of Japanese culture and the pronunciation of the language, so I'm just gonna right off the bat apologize for butchering any of these names. I hate when people say that, because, you know, I'm gonna try really hard to make an effort. So before we even get started, can you help me go through some of the main characters? So first of all, I got through one volume. Okay, so it's Toru. I know this. Toru Honda.
Toru Honda.
Okay, I do know that. And it's, And then the two main boys, the cat and the rat, are...
Okay, so it's Yuki Soma.
Okay, Yuki Soma. All right, so in my head, I was pronouncing it correctly. Okay.
And Kyo.
Kyo. Okay.
Kyo. And then, I mean, if you pronounce it Kyo, that's fine, but it's like, it's just one, like, Kyo.
Kyo, yeah. And I think that's what how I was saying it in my head. And then the older gentleman, the author, that...
Shigure.
Okay. Shigure.
Yeah.
Okay.
You could even, I mean, like, in the English dub, they literally say Shigure. So, like, yeah.
It was really, in my head, it was Shigure. I mean, it hurts to say it that way.
It's not going to hurt. I mean, like, I do think that it is very noble of you to, you know, try and pronounce the names correctly. Yeah. And, like, the thing that bugs me when it comes to, like, Japanese and Chinese pronunciations of character names is that, like, when people will, you know, like, butcher them so far as, like if there's a character named, like, Zhong Li, they'll call them John Lee. And I'm like, no, I think that's a little bit disrespectful.
No. Yeah, definitely, but you don't want to, like, Americanize them. But also, you know, similar to some of the struggles that I had with the previous manga that I read, because they're not names that I'm familiar with, but admittedly, this also happens to me with numbers, is, you know, if I see a number, it doesn't really anchor in my head, so I have to, like, repeat it and try to get it stuck in my head. But by the end of the volume, I was starting to tell the difference. Also, because it's in black and white, sometimes that's a little bit hard for me, because a lot of the characters do look really similar, and I couldn't... Mm-hmm. I knew that Yuki has light hair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. And then the rat, Kyo, has orange hair. He's like a redhead. He's a carrot top. Okay. And I know that...
He's the cat, though.
Oh, the cat is the one with the orange hair. Okay, see. I'm, like, getting it confused. But they both have kind of lighter hair compared to Shigure.
Shigure has black hair.
Yes, he has black hair. Okay.
Shigure.
Okay. And then, and there's, like, a few others, so I'll try to, like, talk about them when it gets to them. But I liked it. I really liked it.
You really liked it? Like,
yeah. It took me a bit to get into it, but I think it was about halfway through. First of all, I love anything Shifter. Like, I'm not even going to lie. I was super excited.
God, every time you say that word, it activates my fight or flight.
Yeah. Okay. But, like, that's really, this is what it is. I'm not usually a huge fan of a love triangle, but, like, I'm trying to figure out whether it's going to be Kyo or Yuki that she goes for. I really like her with the cat, for sure. And he just seems, like, really damaged and left out. And the two of them really... I think can identify with that.
Well, and you also just really, really love, like, the sunshine gets with the grumpy one.
Oh, sunshine and grumpy's my shit. And so that really is. So, really love Toru. She is, like, I'm the sunshine. And so I identified with her so much. She's like, everything's shit. I live in a tent, but I love life. It's fantastic. Everything's fine. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm her. And she's...
I mean, she's optimistic, like, nearly to a fault at some points. And I think that is kind of...
But then that's how she ends up, like, winning the boys over. And, I mean, sometimes, like, when the guys fight with each other, it's, like, really dramatic. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, do you guys have to start punching and fighting each other and getting into, like, the martial arts thing every 5 seconds? But the point when I realized the meaning behind the title of Fruits Basket.
I love it.
Oh my gosh. Like, when she is talking about being a little kid and she's playing the game at the school and they're playing the game Fruits Basket and everyone gets named a fruit. So it's sort of like Duck, Duck, Goose, I guess. Like, everybody gets named a fruit, and then if your fruit gets called, then, you know, you're it next. And she got named Rice Ball instead of being given a fruit. And then nobody would call Rice Ball. Nobody would call the fruit. And she was sitting there feeling left out. And I think that's something that you and I can definitely identify with. Is, like, we've always been kind of quirky people that weren't always fully understood by everybody. You know, we had some kind of, some weird quirky interests at times. And So I can definitely relate to the not being understood. And, like, what is the line that she says, like, not everyone can be a part of a fruits basket? And I was like, oh, my gosh. Or not everyone. Well, but then, like, she finds a home with – and so found family is another thing I fucking love, too. And so she's like, oh, I think I may have actually found my home and found a family with them.
Yeah. And she, like, the onigiri type of metaphor actually comes up quite frequently in the rest of the series. And I just always really appreciated it because, like, you know, just the optimism with which she sat waiting for somebody to call onigiri and, like, nobody did. And she's just like, I'm just waiting to be called. And, you know, they use it, like, it comes up more. And while it's a fairly simple metaphor, it always really rang true with me about, you know, just sort of feeling like you're an outcast, but... You know, even though onigiri isn't part of the fruits basket, like, it's still a food. Like, you're not a complete, like, you know, knockoff. So,
yeah, I thought that was really cool. Other side note, I love the fact that Shigure is an author. And they're like, oh, what books have you written? And he, like, pulls up a book, and it's a smutty romance. And he's like, oh, wait, no, I wasn't meant to show you that. I fucking loved that part. I was cracking up. I was like, oh, my gosh. So even – I know that the story is really more about Toru, but I fucking love Shigure. Like, he's fantastic.
If you had kept reading, I mean, like, Shigure gets his own sort of little
– Yeah. I mean, I'm planning on reading more. Like, I was ready to download another one. I wasn't feeling super great this week. I was, like, a little under the weather. So I just slept a lot. And so I didn't read as much as I wanted to. But especially, you know, after I hit that midpoint and the story started to become more cohesive, because you know how I am, like, sometimes when there's a lot of characters getting introduced and they're, you know, then all of a sudden someone's speaking German. And was it Mimi? Mimi Jo Momi, help.
Momiji.
Momiji. Because I remember that like mom something or like Momijo.
Let me hold on. I'm gonna double check that just to be sure.
Because... Yeah. Oh my gosh. And she, right? She or he? No, she.
He.
He. Sorry. He. That's right. Because he hugs Toru. He's a bunny. Oh my god. Momiji.
Yes. He's a bunny. Little Usagi-chan. We love it.
Oh my gosh. So, and I was super confused by, like, the bunny. But then. It was, so there's, like, a lot of humor, and there's definitely some funny parts in there, and even with the translation, sometimes I don't always get the jokes, but the comedic timing translated really well, so I was definitely laughing at several parts of it, and there's, like, the really serious part towards the end, where she is with, it's not Akito. Akito is the head of the family, right?
Mm-hmm. Akito.
Akito, thank you. And then who's the dragon?
Haru. No. Hattori.
Hattori, thank you. Hattori is Year of the Dragon. And of course Toru is clumsy as fuck. So she's constantly falling down, which then leads them to situations where these, you know, gentlemanly people are like, oh, I must catch her, even though I know I'm going to transform into a creature. I'm going to shift into my animal form if I, like, catch and hold her. And they do it anyway. He fucking turns into a seahorse right in the middle of the street in the snow.
I know, it's so great. And, like, water!
Yes, he can't. She's freaking out. She's like, do I need salt water or fresh water? She's freaking out. But then, so it's hilarious, but then it switches to his flashback of his love and how the first time she hugged him, he turned into a seahorse and she put him in the bathtub and was, like, trying to take care of him. She's like, even though you're a seahorse, I still love you.
I know, it's so fucking cute.
And he was like, oh, I haven't dreamt of her in so long. And, like, the whole thing about Akito and how he, like blinded him. And I'm like, I don't know who this guy is, but he's an asshole. I'm not looking forward to meeting him. Yeah. So that whole flashback really fleshed out so much of the story. But I thought it was interesting because there's this quote from Akito, like off screen. You don't see him yet. And he said, you can't even break the curse. You're not even the one who can break the curse. So why would I let you be a part of this family? Which implies that there is someone who is able to break the curse. And Akito was okay with her moving in. And I've already forgotten his name. I'm so bad with names.
Hattori,
yeah, our seahorse guy. He's like, Akito is using you, and he's trying to warn her off, not because he doesn't like her or because that they shouldn't be friends or anything like that. He's like, I think that this guy is using you, and I don't think that he has your best interest in mind, and he knows the horrible things that he can do. So I thought that was interesting. You know, just like my own kind of wondering for the future, anytime that you have like mysterious and dead parents, I'm always like, okay, who's the dad? And you know, what about her is special that's like, I think that she's someone who can break the curse. Cause I know that's part of it, is that in the future, she's going to try to help them break the curse. Thanks, Wikipedia.
And that's part of what I really like about Fruits Basket, is that like, it is focused on this entire family of Zodiac cursed individuals. And when it goes back into like the telling of their past and things that they kind of have dealt with growing up, it not only is a really interesting story, but it also just delves deeper into the level of control and abuse that Akito has over them and the level of trauma that like they all share. Yeah. And
only one volume in, I'm already starting to see that. And then there's a few other characters and a few other things. So I guess like some things that I didn't like as much, and this is kind of nitpicky, it's just because I don't really understand. There's like a few things that I think maybe I just don't understand maybe about Japanese culture in general. Some of them I looked up. So I had to, you know, check all the honorifics because I didn't understand what all the different honorifics meant. That wasn't something I didn't like. That was just something I had to do to better understand it. There's a point where Kyo gets upset when Yuki calls him Kyon Kyon. And he's like, don't. And he gets so upset. And he's like, don't call me that. And I was like, but normally they have like little notations or sidebars that are like, oh, this is what that means. And so I wasn't sure why he got so upset about that.
He was calling him a baby name. So it would be like, so essentially like if somebody was like talking down to you and and they were like, oh, what's the matter, wow wow, or like owie owie, or ooh, so, you know, ugh, like
yeah,
if ooh, they said something like that, like that's what he's doing. So okay, he was like, oh, what's the matter, kyon kyon, like because he was just calling him like a baby nickname.
Okay that was the only one, because all the others had those little sidebars that explained it a little better. Other things that were a challenge but I adjusted to was like the order of reading, like going a certain way.
Also, along this might also be another insight that you will learn as well, is that like while he isn't normally like being called a baby name is bad enough as it is, but there's a specific person who used to call him that name that also made him really mad.
Gotcha.
So it is also something that like you kind of also would discover naturally if you and kept reading.
Awesome. And then, so her two school friends, Asira?
I'm trying to remember because I'm flipping through her two friends.
And then the one with the long dark hair that I'm pretty sure is a witch.
She is?
Oh my gosh, I guessed it right. Well, I mean, I guessed it before I saw her in the pointy hat, I will say.
So you have Saki Hanajima and Arisa Uotani. So you can, from now on, you can call them Uo and Saki.
Uo and Saki. Okay, that's right. Yeah. So Saki, she kept saying, She has some interesting waves around her, and I wasn't sure what waves was. I wasn't sure if waves was something that was a part of Japanese culture, or if that was her saying her aura was interesting, or if it was like her vibes were interesting.
So
I wasn't sure.
In this world of fantasy, Saki is, she does have her own sort of like familial, I don't want to say curse, but like her family, like, which might be the wrong word, but like she does have specifically like powers, like, and you find out like Uo and Saki essentially have their own volume, and I love their backstories.
That's awesome.
More than anything in the world.
Awesome. Like, I'm excited to learn more about them. That they were definitely fun. I was just confused early on, but I just had to vibe with it, I guess.
Yes.
And just and instead of stopping every 5 minutes to try to figure out an answer, just I almost dropped my Kindle. Just kind of go with it, and then as things went on, they started to make more sense, and I was able to distinguish between the different characters. Yeah, so overall, it was good. I rated it a 4 out of 5, which is like good, you know. I don't always give out 4 out of 5 on books that I read and stuff. So I wouldn't say that like manga is my preferred genre to read, and it definitely takes a little more brain power for me to read it. But I like this way better than Number 6, and actually like legitimately liked it. And it's not just because it has shifters and cute bunny boys. They're so cute. It's, but I mean, it's got Sunshine meets Grumpy. It's got romance. It's got some like cheesy romantic comedy. It's funny. Yeah,
I think there is a character that I'm really bummed that you did not get to meet because you didn't read into the next volume. But he is the Year of the Cow. And
I want to be the cow.
He is so funny. He is like literally, there is a part in the book that I constantly reread because it brings me so much joy. And I just like, I love him so much. I also love the Year of the Monkey, who is,
because that's you.
I am Year of the Monkey, and I do love that particular individual and the struggles that they are going through. And you're Year of the Horse, right?
No, I'm Year of the Tiger. And you said Year of the Tiger is a bitch.
She is a bitch, but I mean, like,
what does that mean? What does it mean? She's so nice.
Okay. So I maybe should not say that she's a bitch. She's a literal child, but like,
oh.
Hello, it's editing Bronwyn here, and I just have to clarify something because I did realize that I made a mistake. I got my characters mixed up, which is just what happens when you read books with lots and lots of characters. And I'm not perfect, and I have a rat brain. But when I initially in the episode talked about disliking the Year of the Tiger, I had her confused with the Year of the Horse. And then this time I thought, oh yes, the Year of the Tiger, she is a bitch. But actually I was thinking of Hiro, the Year of the Sheep, and how he was kind of a little bastard. I got their two dynamics mixed up. And I apologize. I did have a few people be like, why do you have a problem with the Year of the Tiger? And I'm sorry. I'm not perfect. I am. My therapist just texted me running late. So if that gives you any indication on how my life's going right now. But yes, I do not have any problems with the Year of the Tiger. I thought it was the horse, and then I thought it was the sheep. I hope you can find it in your hearts to forgive me. Thank you. Back to me accidentally shit-talking one of the sweetest characters in the series.
Well, that checks out.
She's a literal child. She just has to go through some stuff, I guess. Like, I probably shouldn't say that she's a bitch, but like,
I would have loved to be Year of the Horse. I don't know what year of, what actual year.
No, Year of the Horse is also a bitch.
But, oh, okay. Well, then never mind. No, but I've always thought it was fucking cool that I was Year of the Tiger because I thought it was, like, ferocious. But it always made sense to me that you were Year of the Monkey because it just fits your wild, chaotic personality so well. So well.
Yeah, for sure.
I remember sitting and it was in a Chinese food restaurant, too, so this is wrong. But, like, you know, they have those, like, paper napkins with the... you know, the zodiac, and we're like,
it is Chinese New Year. It is based on the Chinese New Year.
Okay. I'm like, is this wrong? But I remember sitting in a restaurant, and like you know, you were still pretty little. You were like a toddler, and Mom and I were looking at the paper placemats and be like, oh, what year are you? And then we're like, oh, what year is Bronwyn? And we looked at it and we're like, it's the monkey, of course. That's so perfect. We're like, that's awesome.
Yup. I feel like that suits me quite perfectly. And also, like, the way that they describe Year of the Monkey, like, kind of the personality traits that come from it. Mm-hmm. And when you meet the character who is Year of the Monkey, it's very reflective of...
Is it a super cute monkey, like an adorable fuzzy monkey? Because that's what I've always pictured in my mind, is, like, an adorable but, like, mischievous fuzzy monkey.
I actually can't remember what Ritsu's monkey form looked like. Okay. I don't think that they really get transformed all that often because they don't like to be touched.
Makes sense.
Yeah. So. But awesome. But anyway, it's a lovely book, and it's like it's one of my go-to junk food books, and I wanted to give you an easy one that I really genuinely thought you would like, and I'm glad that
I appreciate that. Yeah. Yeah,
because you're not like the biggest fan of like manga graphic novels, and even when we first started this podcast, I was like, I think if there's one that mm-hmm. Allie would genuinely like, it would be Fruits Basket.
Yeah, and would I'm still pick up, yeah.
Would I pick up Fruits Basket today? Probably not. Like,
mm-hmm. I get that.
And so yeah, so it just has a very nostalgic mm-hmm. Essence for me, but it's good. It's good stuff.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I appreciate the recommendation, and I really have nothing else to say about it. Like, that's it. Yeah.
Well, let's go ahead and wrap her on up.
Wrap it up.
We'll take a quick break, finish our tea, and when we come back, we will discuss Welcome to Bordertown edited by Holly Black and...
written by a whole slew of people.
Yeah, there's a lot to go over. But anyway, when we come back, we'll be talking about Welcome to Bordertown.
Yeah, it's going to be weird. All right, see you in a minute.
Hi there, I'm Lee, and I've recently fallen in love with old giant monster movies.
And I'm Sarah, and I hate watching movies.
And we're the hosts of Kaiju Coffee Break, where we talk about kaiju like Godzilla, King Kong, and Gamera.
And coffee.
Every episode, we talk about one kaiju movie over our morning coffee and tell you all about it. We're going to talk about what we loved.
What we didn't love.
What was awesome.
And what was ridiculous.
We're going to start with Godzilla, but then branch out into other kaiju movies as we go.
I'm so excited.
So tune in on pantspending.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Kaiju Coffee Break.
Okay, welcome back for our next segment where we are going to get to hear thoughts from B on the book that I gave to her to read. The book that I recommended this time around was very different. It wasn't a straight up novel. It was a collection of short stories, poems, and it's just like altogether weirdness. So it is called Welcome to Bordertown, and it is edited by the incredible Holly Black and Alan Kushner. I know that you are a fan of Holly Black, so I'm interested to hear, you know, what you thought about the short story that she put in there. I know that she and Alan both had pretty long forewords, but I like Welcome to Bordertown because you don't have to have read any of the other Bordertown or Borderland books to understand, and it kind of does give you a nice introduction and starter to, you know, the rules and concepts of the world. And so basically what it is that Bordertown is a city that's on the border of the human and the elfin realm.
Oh, you're not supposed to call it that, though.
Yeah, they get mad when you call it that. But then there's runaway teens and just different people that come from both sides, so elves and humans. I'm pretty sure there's a person who's a scientist that comes over to study Border Town and the Borderlands. There's somebody who tries to create a computer, like an internet connection with the elven realm. So that's pretty interesting. I'll just let you explain it, because there's so much to it. So I know that you can't really talk about the overall plot, because there's so many intertwining stories and different things that go with it.
Yeah, what I really liked was, first of all, their forewords were almost as good as, like, the short stories involved themselves. I really enjoyed the discussion of, you know, authors coming together collaboratively and the excitement of working together in a group, and they sort of discuss their writing processes and is this any good, or am I cool enough to write this type of book, and it just really it was very refreshing to, like, read that type of forward, and also for them to kind of discuss the process of bringing people together, and also reigniting a old story, because Border Town actually was an already established setting that I keep blanking on her name, the other editor.
Ellen Kushner.
Yeah, that Ellen Kushner had already established. Mm-hmm. Like, or not established, sorry. She had been a part of the writing team with the original Border Town.
Yeah, because it was Terry Wendling was the one originally started it. But I do remember that Ellen Kushner was a part of some of those earlier iterations of the Border Town books.
Yeah, so it was already a pretty fairly well-established universe, which I think made it so much nicer for these books to kind of come and be fleshed out. And I really liked how, even though all of the stories were different, it was easy enough to follow the lore. And with each book, or with each short story, you kind of got a little bit more of the lore and the insight into the people that they were following. I think that as far as complaints would go, I don't have many, because I did actually very much enjoy the book.
Yay! I'm so glad. I'm really glad. I thought you liked that one and would like it, and I was very hopeful.
I really enjoyed listening to them. I really enjoyed the poems.
Yes.
Like, they were so, like, I don't know.
See, I thought really that, like, your little what is the word, the type of stuff that you normally like? I'm drawing a blank now. Wow.
Surreal.
Yeah, I thought your, like, little surrealist like heart would like that.
Oh yeah, no, anytime a poem came up, I was like, oh, vibes immaculate. Like, they were so good.
Yeah.
And so I really enjoyed listening to the poems. The people who read the poems did a really good job. Some of them sang them. Some of them, you know, like, there was one that was sung in, like, a da 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 da, and it was really, like, it was not just, like, read out a poem, like, like, it was more like when you go to like slam poetry, and I really enjoyed that. So I did really like the poems. I was talking about complaints before I got into that, but yeah. I wanted to express that I did enjoy the book. But
good.
I think that, like, my main complaint would be that, like, the female characters were a little bit static, and not completely. Like, I will say they did all have their own different stories and their different personalities, but, like, all of the girls were runaways with bad home lives who were looking for something different. They got taken advantage of in the fairy realm, and, like, they were kind of just, like, pulled along for the ride. And I mean, it wasn't completely like that, but in comparison to the male characters, who, like, you had the owner of a bookstore and a guy who was studying Borderland for his college.
Yes.
You know,
the professor. Yeah. He was super interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you also had the guy who was creating the computer or mm-hmm. the, like trying to get the internet connected. And so like that in comparison, it left me just a little bit annoyed that like all the girls were like hapless runaways that,
yeah.
you know, they were just trying like, to find
their
way. Why
do all the boys get to have the cool stories? And I definitely didn't pick up on that the first time around. But now that you're saying that, I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah. That totally yeah. was what happened. And it was yeah. also the girl that she – I can't remember the story that she was obsessed with, but there was a story that she was really, really into, and she was all
about –
Was it
the vampire and werewolf one?
No, not the vampire and werewolf one. It's the
was
one –
Was it the first – the very first story?
It might have
they
been...
all – see, here's the other thing, too. They all were obsessed with books, so
– Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so they all – yeah. It's – There ended up being, I think, a Disney cartoon made of this one. And see, this is why I should have read the book before I started.
But, yeah. they all were, like, you know, girls who loved books, who were runaways.
And they were trying to recreate that book experience that, you know, when they came there, that's what they were looking for. And they mm-hmm. they didn't always find it.
Exactly.
They were somewhat disappointed.
I was a little bit disappointed by the expression of books. Also, this is, like, not the author's fault, but, like, I'm really salty about it. The lesbian in the story, her name is Allie, and that, oh, I was robbed. I was like, oh, no!
I can't believe I forgot!
She was like the elf, the like really handsome elf guy hit on her, and she was like, sorry, if you have a hot elven sister, I'd be happy to take you out. He was like, sister? And she goes, hi, I'm Allie. And I was like, no!
I can't even enjoy this.
I was like, god damn it. The one, like, they had a few, like, LGBT characters that kind of popped up. That I think that was the one main LGBT character.
I'm so sorry.
But I was so salty about it. I was like, oh my god.
See, it's like those little details that mean nothing to me that I just gloss over in my little, like, golden retriever brain that then... You know, I'm like, oh, shit, I gave you a sci-fi story about a pandemic in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah, thanks for that.
Might have been good to think about that.
But,
sorry, but really, goldfish brain.
All in all, I really did not, I mean, like, any issues that I might have had with the story, like, they were just little bite-sized stories, and so therefore there wasn't much that I could really nitpick about.
Yeah, because if you don't like a story, you move on, and then there's a different story that you, mm-hmm. you know, that you might like better.
Yeah, like, I mean, the story about the, like, computer guy, like, you could tell that this person did a lot of research about internet coding and about how signals mm-hmm. are sent and things like that. I found myself really zoning out for that yeah. one because, which you can do. Like, that was the part that I was also, like, I did not have to be like, okay, I really have to pay attention mm-hmm. because if I don't pay attention, I'm going to be confused later on the book. Like, you know, and that could be hard for me sometimes when I'm listening to audiobooks is like, okay, fucking pay attention, even if my brain isn't interested, which is how I ended up losing interest with Throne of Glass.
Because you just, like, keep zoning out and be like, she's going to say something in this part that's going to matter mm-hmm. later. Yeah. And,
yeah.
I like that about it, too, because you didn't have to be 1,000% invested in every single one of the stories. If something wasn't your exactly. cup of tea, you just kind of skim it and then you'd move on to something else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that, like, the story that I really liked, and I am not quite sure why this story tickled my fancy so much, but it was like, it was one of those, like, really silly stories that, like, you know, it was just so absurd. But it was the story where there was the girl. And she goes up to the statue in the park, and she does her little ritual to talk to the statue. And she's like, please, I need this prince to gain consciousness. He gains consciousness. And she goes, Mr. Statue Man, will you have sex with me? And I was like, oh, I'm here for this story. Like, it's just so absurd. Like, going to the park to, like, make your sexy statue man, like, sentient so that you can have sex with him? Like, vibes. That's the kind of, like, sexy romance story I'm here for.
Like, I was going to ask you which of the stories was your favorite, and I definitely would not have guessed.
I loved that one. Ken, that I one would was like so good.
The statue.
That one was so good. It was just silly. Like, yeah. It was, I mean, like, there was just like a hint of like longing and angst and kind of like, mm-hmm. you know, but it was still like, and even though it was like, you know, that was kind of her end goal was I want the statue man to have sex with me. It was really like, it was just a very endearing story. I don't know. It just, yeah. and nobody was questioning her wanting to have sex with the statue. They were more like, well, is this like a good guy to pursue? Like, you know, like, is the statue a good guy? Like, and I just loved that. And then like, yeah. the grandma coming in and like giving her the condoms and the one guy being like so embarrassed. He was like, oh, is that for the statue guy? Does he even need those? And it just was like, it's,
oh my
just
gosh.
It was just absurd enough that it was like that's the kind of romance that I want to read. It's just weird, yeah. silly, like,
I will keep this in mind for future selections. Weird, silly sex stuff. Okay.
But I really liked that story. I think that the other story that really pulled at my heartstrings, that really made me like very emotional, was the two girls on the train cart. And like the one girl, you know, she had always dreamed, like, and I this was like, you could say this about any of the stories, but the one girl had like really dreamed of, you know, going to Borderland, and she knew that it was true, and the other girl was a skeptic, and then their paths crossed again, you know, mm-hmm. that was pretty, that happened a lot in the book.
Yeah, I do like the intersecting stories. I really liked yeah. that. Mm-hmm.
But the way that they wrote this particular section where, like, you know, just the raw emotion of the – because the one girl was dying on the train car. And the raw emotion of that scene and mm-hmm. the way that she desperately was like, hang in there. We're almost going to make it to Bordertown.
Oh, yeah, I remember. And, oh, my
And
gosh.
Then, like, they get on the cart and they're like, oh, yeah, we just need a unicorn. And, like, you know, there's just, like – you know, there's her friend dying and she's just thrown into this absurd world. And it was so like written, just jam packed with emotion. Mm-hmm. And I really like that really tugged at my heartstrings and really like made me feel a very large amount of emotion.
Yeah.
So, you yeah. know, despite like the story of the runaways who are, you know, kind of tragically pursuing, you know, their dreams, kind of being a story that happened quite a bit, I did really enjoy that one in particular. Yeah. So
I definitely really oh sorry, go ahead.
Oh no, and my favorite poem it was the one that was like da 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 da.
I can't remember. It's been I just remember loving everything about this yeah. whole collection of stories. I can't remember like the specific poems, but I'll if you think of it, you should text it to me because I'd like to go back and read it again. I was gonna say like one of my favorite, it was kind of more the overarching story of all of it, was like why Bordertown, why the doors closed to the outside world for so yeah. long. And there was, I can't remember if it was the sister or the brother, but there's two siblings. And one of the siblings ran away to Bordertown. And within Bordertown, it was what, 2 weeks or 2 months or something
it was,
like
so
that?
It was 13 days for Bordertown. 13 days. 13 years.
Yes. And so then the other sibling comes through and they're now older than their older sibling. And they had been trying their whole life, basically, to find their lost sibling. And I love a time travel time loop like that. I love all the problems that it creates, well, where your older sibling is now younger than you.
Well, and I also love how he was like, so she came from a small town and she thought that she wanted to live in Bordertown because she loved fantasy and she wanted to meet a college boy, this, yes. that, and the other. Mm-hmm. And he was the redneck, mechanic. Mm-hmm. And he was coming there with his dog and, you know, wearing his flannel and jeans, like, whatever, I'm not gonna stick around in Bordertown. Like, he was like, this isn't my scene. And then he ends up, like, with his, like, dirty redneck self just like sliding effortlessly into this group of Borderland people and just like living his best life. And I really appreciated that it was like, you know, that the sister kind of was like, oh yeah, this isn't exactly what I had hoped for. And after 13 days, she was like,
But yeah, but that's what I thought was so interesting with that one. I think that was the story I was thinking of. She was imagining, and she kind of hooks up with some different roommates, and she's like, and she's like, this is just not what at all what I thought it was. And so she's literally been there just a couple of weeks. And so she's really unaffected by her time there, where her older brother has, like, the whole world has gone on for 13 years without her. So she's largely unaffected by this passage of time, other than like, oof, this isn't really what I thought it was. And he was massively affected by the fact that his sister had gone missing 13 years ago. And I just kind of like the idea of Border Town isn't for everyone. And it just, it makes itself known to people. Like, some people find it super easily, and other people try to find it, and the door never opens for them. And so I thought that was interesting. I can't remember if they ever figure out why Border Town closed up for a while or what happened with the time blip.
I think, like, one of the things that I really enjoyed about Border Town was that the things that they left unexplained, because there was one story in particular, I believe it was the internet story. Like, this is what I enjoyed about that one, was they talk about how the rules of magic are not rules, they're not formulas, they're aesthetics. And I thought that was so great. It was that, like, you know, they're like, oh, well, they wouldn't punish you by, like, making you pay a fine. They'd, like, make you cry under the willow tree for 10 days while you pricked each of your fingers. Like, you know, something like, it was like they did it for the aesthetic.
Like, very, and so getting swept away into the forest by the fae kind of stuff.
So it wouldn't surprise me if, like, the reason why it shut down was just, like, because why not? You know, like, and so it, I mean, there, it really, I don't even think that, like, there should be an explanation for it, because for most things, there just was not an explanation.
It was a little bit chaotic, because, I mean, it was that border town. It was on the border of reality and magic, and when you have those two, technology and magic, together, it can create a lot of chaos. So it makes sense why there weren't necessarily rules. And I really like fantasy stories where the magic doesn't have rules. I hate when there just arbitrarily are rules about the magic, about how much you can use and where the magic comes from and all that stuff. I'm like, why does there have to be rules?
You're not gonna like me thinking about the next book that I'm gonna give you.
Oh boy. This always fucking happens. This always happens. Well, on that note, it probably is about time for us to introduce our new books, but I'm really happy. I'm so happy that you liked it. I wanted to give a nice book and not fuck it up for once. So,
I would highly, highly recommend it. It was really good. And I mean, like, it was still like a very sexy book. Like, I will say that. They mentioned sex all over that book. But I liked it. I like, it was not like, you know, it was nothing nothing super overbearing, and it actually, like, it made sense in the fairy world that, like, that's kind of just on everybody's mind. So I did enjoy it very much. And if you read it just for the poems, like, do that. Like, if you are gonna read this book and you hit a story that you're like, I'm not feeling it, skip it.
Yeah.
Just don't read it.
Legit. Like, and I think that I may have done that with, like, one or two of the poems, at least one of the short stories. It's like, you're not going to be missing anything. It's really wonderful for the casual reader. And I'm absolutely going to go back and read some of the other Border Town books. I don't know why I haven't, because I loved Welcome to Border Town so very much.
Yeah. I think I probably would be inclined to do that as well. So on that note, let's go ahead and wrap this up. And when we come back, Allie and I will be introducing our new books to each other.
And I got to figure out what that book is going to be.
I know. Just Allie kidding. Didn't pick I totally out her book know. Until like just now.
What book I'm giving.
You had a whole... I've been thinking nonstop about the book that I'm going to give
you. I have, like, several in my head. I just... I freak out when I have to make a decision. It's really hard for me to commit. And sometimes I change my mind after you tell me yours, to be honest.
Make it good. Make it good. Make it good. All right, we'll be back.
Okay, bye. Bye. I love you. Bye.
Hello, everyone. So we are back.
We're back.
For this segment of Trading Pages, Allie and I will give each other our assignments for the next month. And what we do is we will give each other the title of our book, and then we guess what the book is about. And then we will read the synopsis and kind of discuss the book just a little bit, give a few teasers, few predictions for how we feel each other's going to feel about the book. And then we send each other off to procrastinate reading the book until the last week of recording, apparently.
Legit. It's always like the last 24 hours are so stressful. I'm like, I gotta finish this book.
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you, you should not procrastinate on this one because I'm gonna give you a long one.
Oh, shit. Okay. All right. Well, I may download the Audible this time just because that helps me when I gotta power through something.
There is no Audible.
Uh-oh.
So
okay.
So let me give you the title. Let me give you the title of this particular book. So the title is Modao Zushi.
Oh my gosh, this is manga fan fiction, isn't it?
No, it's not even Japanese. I was just speaking Chinese to you. I'll stop being a troll, but so
what the fuck is happening?
It was Chinese. So the actual title of the book is The Grandmaster of Demonic Cultivation.
Okay, that sounds cool. Now you may
give a legitimate guess.
The Grandmaster of Demonic Cultivation. I mean, this sounds like some supernatural shit. I like it. I'm going to guess there's going to be a massive ensemble cast with a lot of names I'm going to have to learn. Supernatural, obviously some demon summoning, but I'm guessing that the demon is the main character and is also cool as shit.
No.
And is hot?
But.
No.
And it's what?
It's hot.
So you are correct. There is a huge cast of characters
fucking
in this book.
Fucking hell. Every time. Why?
And I'm going to tell you this. This brings me so much joy. But every single character in this book has at least two names.
Fucking
sometimes
hell.
Three. Sometimes four.
Why the fuck do you do this to me? I can't keep up with all the names, especially, like, I can't. My brain is tiny. I can't do it.
I mean, it has to do with how in Chinese culture they have their birth name and then they have a courtesy name. That's just how it is. So they all have at least two names and different people call them different names. But then some of them have titles and some of them have different names that they go by. And there are also honorifics. And so, like, I was going to actually make a cheat sheet with you if you're really struggling. But
Lord,
let me.
Yes, I do need that. Make me a sheet.
So let me say, I've been procrastinating long enough. Let me redo the synopsis for this book. So, as the grandmaster who founded the demonic path, Wei Wuxian roamed the world in his wanton ways, hated by millions for the chaos he created. In the end, he was backstabbed by his dearest Shidi and killed by powerful clans that combined to overpower him. He incarnates into the body of a lunatic who was abandoned by his clan and is later unwillingly taken away by a famous cultivator among the clans, Lang Wanji, his arch enemy. This marks the start of a thrilling yet hilarious journey of attacking monsters, solving mysteries, and raising children. From the mutual flirtation along the way, Wei Wuxian slowly realizes that Lang Wanji, a seemingly haughty and indifferent poker face, holds more feelings for Wei Wuxian than he is letting on.
Okay.
Yeah?
I'm intrigued. It's long, though.
It's really long.
Okay. It's like... you have to give me a character list primer before this gets started.
I can do that.
I'm interested. I like that there's romance.
Mm-hmm. A gay romance.
I know. That's my shit.
I think that what you are going to hate, let me tell you what you're going to hate about this book.
It's like before we've even started.
Like, let me just tell you. So you're going to hate how many characters there are and how many different branching off stories that there are, how many names they have. It is also a slow burn. If you don't finish this book, you're going to be left hanging. So it isn't, I mean, like, you finished... Midnight Sun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I finished Midnight Sun.
How long did it take you to finish Midnight Sun?
I mean, I wasn't reading Midnight Sun as much as I should have been reading Midnight Sun when I was supposed to be reading Midnight Sun. So, I mean, I did it in a month, so it should be fine. It should be fine.
I mean, it's a little bit longer than Midnight Sun.
Are you serious?
Actually, it's quite a bit longer than Midnight Sun.
Midnight Sun was a 24-hour audiobook. Wasn't it? Yeah, it was 24. Fucking hell. Okay, well, I need to change what I'm giving to you then. I'm going to make you read a lot more than I initially said. Initially planned.
I just am saying I read it in 2 weeks, I want to say, but I was like devouring it. And I really, I love it. And I will also say that this is another one that I will have multiple friends listening in that Yes, judging you. But also judging me because a few of them speak Chinese or are learning Chinese. And I actually had them give me a cheat sheet for the name pronunciation so that I wouldn't look like a complete idiot. So,
that's good. Because I'm like, oh my gosh, I was just starting to understand Japanese culture and the Japanese language and pronunciation. And now I got to start all over again.
So speaking of which, you had said that you don't really like establish rules in the fantasy world. And this is one of the things that actually kind of hangs up for everybody who starts reading like Chinese type novels is that this is a book about cultivation, the grandmaster of demonic cultivation. But cultivation is actually a Chinese like an established Chinese type fantasy world. Like it's
if it's already established, I'm talking about like in new modern stories, you know, and not modern fantasy, but just fantasies in general that are being written these days. You could make magic, the rules of magic be whatever you want them to be, but it seems that people are still using established rules from other settings and other fantasy worlds, universe, world building that exists. Like, you can make it whatever you want. You make magic cost nothing.
That's what they're doing is they're using a very established world,
which makes it different.
Chinese fantasy.
Yeah, if it's an already established world, it's like when you're making a whole new world, like make it your own thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, while I would normally say just vibe with it, like there are some aspects of, you know, this fantasy world that like, I mean, it's essentially like if somebody watched, The Fall of Grindelwald without knowing any Harry Potter movies or lore or anything. They'd be like, okay, I get it, but like I'm still a little bit confused about this, that, and the other.
So
and
I may have to like research a little bit. Okay. All right.
Yeah. And so if you need any of that help, I'm willing to talk to you about it because I had to do that when I was reading.
So this is not necessarily one that I'm gonna read totally on my own. I may need guidance and pre-discussion before we get to the next episode.
And I think that it makes for like an interesting reading project for you because like, you know, you're sort of reading books that you know already have high fantasy that you are very well versed in, and then this is going to kind of switch to something else. But
yeah, it's totally new.
I really love this book. It's one of my current hyperfixations. And it does have a Donghua, which is an animation, and it has like it has an audio drama CD, but it's in Chinese. So
I was gonna say I thought you said there was an audio, but if it's in Chinese, that does not help me.
Yeah. All right. I mean, you could sit down and watch it. You could watch the drama CD. But and so so it does. So it does. So it I mean, like, it has a whole bunch of different adaptations, and it's just a really, really great story. And we talked about.
I mean, like, I care. All I care about is a great story. Like, if it's a great story, I can get into it. So
yeah,
yeah.
And I think that. I mean, I'm just not sure if you are going to like this one, because it is. Like, it's a slow burn, and it's also, like, really dramatic, and, like, I don't know. I mean, it's a really great romance, and it's really, well, I
mean,
like...
Yeah. I mean...
But it's I not don't... a great romance until the end.
Thanks for the preparation. Well, I mean, like, I don't necessarily need to have physical action. Like, I want there to be interactions between the people. Like, the last one that sold to me as a gay romance, there was absolutely no inclination of any kind of romance. It was just, like, the two people being absolutely horrendous to each other. So, yeah. All right. No. Are you ready for yours?
I guess.
Like, yours is so much easier. You gave me such a hard one. All right.
Well, then pick a hard one for me, no, coward. It's Do it.
It's too late. I've already, it'll be fine.
It's not too late. It's not too late, coward. Do it.
All right. So, all right, never mind. I won't give you the one that I was going to give you. I'm going to give you a different one. All right. One. Okay. So, you have to read Serpent and Dove.
Serpent and Dove. Is it a shifter novel?
It is not. It is not.
Is it about a lost princess who falls in love with a criminal?
It's not Rapunzel, so no. But, like, you're actually weirdly close, though. Like, you're...
All right, like, let's hear
it's
it.
It's like when you do the math wrong, but then get the answer sort of right. Any more guesses?
There's lots of explicit sex scenes.
No, not really. No.
Oh,
no.
Right, okay. Cool, excellent.
Yeah. Okay.
There isn't mine, so.
Oh.
Congratulations.
Awesome. Okay. I'm like 1,000% more interested. This is great. Okay. So.
I was wondering if I should tell you or not.
Serpent and Dove is a fantasy. It feels as if it's set in France or Paris, but it doesn't actually say where it is. There's a lot of French culture and French language that's incorporated in part of it. So you've given me some language challenges, and now I'm going to give some back at you. All right, so now you've got to learn some French. And it is about magic and witches, but then also about this kind of overbearing archbishop and a church. And the men in the church that are witch hunters and witch killers, and basically anything that is magical is outlawed. It is not good. There is a person who is running away from their past. And you kind of, like, as it goes, you kind of figure out what and who they're running from. But witches are feared. They're bad. They're burned at the stake. They find out that they're witches. And there's also some marriage of convenience in here, which I was not expecting when I initially read this book. There is some romance, but the main character is the criminal. The main female character is the criminal.
Nice.
And the main male character is straight-laced, good, pure, and, like, sweet and innocent. And she's, like, foul-mouthed, rude, unpolished, and, like, raunchy. and just like and like loves to push his buttons.
Ooh.
Yeah. So
that's really funny actually, because that's kind of the same dynamic as the characters in my book. Actually, okay. That's really funny because, like, you have the straight-laced, really proper Hong Won-jun, and then Wei Wuxian, who is just, like, really foul-mouthed and, like, pushes him like nobody's business. So yeah. That's really interesting. I like how sometimes we give each other books that, like, just slide past each other as, like, being really similar. Like,
yeah, it's so weird. And this was a last-minute switch for me. I was fully intending on giving you a graphic novel. You're giving me that, so this was an audible that I made like at the last second. But I don't know, I initially thought that maybe you wouldn't like it, but then now that I'm reading you the description, I think you might actually like this one. Yeah, and this is one that does have very particular rules about magic, and so that's why I said it. Sometimes it does annoy me that there are those rules for magic, but that doesn't mean I don't enjoy the book all the same. So, gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. So, Serpent and Dove, and it's a trilogy. The second book is out. The second book is Blood and Honey, and the third book is not out yet, and that's Gods and Monsters.
I do think that sounds interesting. Mm-hmm. I like that romance is not the driving force of this novel for sure. And I love me some female criminal characters that are badasses. Yeah, so.
There's two of them, and they cross dress.
Oh,
and
fuck yes.
And one of them's a lesbian. I'm pretty sure. So. Oh,
fuck yes. Yes.
And her name is not Allie.
Oh, good. Lesbians named Allie in these books. God.
Yeah, her name is Coco, but that's not the main character. Coco is the sidekick. Yeah, she's like one of the other witches. And actually, I think she might be bi, actually. Actually, she strikes me as more pan because, like, she will hit on anything that breathes, more or less. Ah. So, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's demisexual.
Yeah.
if they're just like anything and everything, that's demisexual.
Okay, all right. So
now that we have thoroughly fucked each other over for our next books,
we'll see how this goes. Hopefully, we can both finish because these are both hefty reads. So
I'm just gonna tell you right now, I am gonna be bugging you so hardcore to finish this book because if you like. You, the person who just fucking loves, like, twists and turns and surprise endings, if you do not make it to the end of this book, you are going to, like, we're not going to be able to talk about some of the most important aspects of
it.
So
I'll create a reading schedule so that I, like, read a certain number of chapters each day to make sure that I finish it in time without being stressed out.
You can also, like... I don't know. I mean, if you would prefer to explore it as an audio medium, the drama CD is really good, and it has like multiple voice actors. Like it it's acted out.
That's cool. I don't hate that.
Yeah. So it's because okay. And it's something that they do in China and in Japan and like with Asian media quite a bit. But they have like there are different voice actors and it's acted out and they have music and it. It is really long in drama CD format because it does follow the book.
Mm-hmm.
But if that maybe will kind of keep your interest a little bit more, I can help you out with that part.
Okay.
Because I do think that, like, especially because it is translated almost directly from Chinese, it can be a little bit stilted to read the book.
Yeah, that's the only thing I ever worry about is because, like, I know... that, like, sometimes it's because of the translation, I'm not always getting the full picture of the story. But I just need to adjust. I need to adjust. But,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that might actually be really interesting, too, if Allie consumes a audio drama CD for the first time.
Yeah. I mean, this is our podcast. We make the rules.
It is still technically reading because you do have to read the subtitles.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, how is it any different than an audiobook? Like,
yeah, seriously. Yeah, that's the same. I think that counts.
We will get back to you on that front because okay. I think that we'll reveal might just it be at the beginning of
next
that,
episode. Want to see how I actually consume it and will Allie actually finish? Tune
Allie,
in.
You better.
Next
I'm gonna,
time.
I'm gonna pressure you so much. I'm gonna bully you. I'm gonna be like, okay. So how's Modazushi?
I'm considering myself bullied.
Consider yourself bullied.
All right. Well then, tune in next time to see the results. And is it time to wrap it up?
I think it is time to wrap it up. Allie, take it away.
Take it away. So, everybody, thanks so much for listening. Trading Pages is part of the Pants Pending Entertainment Network. If you are enjoying this podcast, you can find us at tradingpages.pantspending.com or on Spotify, Google Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you click subscribe so you don't miss any of our new episodes and leave us a voicemail on the Anchor app. You might appear in one of our newest episodes. Also, don't forget to become a patron at patreon.com/pantspending.
Have questions, comments, want to tell us that Lee's podcast voice is sexy or just soothing? Send us an email at tradingpagespodcast@gmail.com or find our socials at tradingpagespod on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. On the next episode, Allie will be reading Mo Dao Zushi by Mo Xiang Tongxu.
And B will be reading Serpent and Dove by Shelby Mahurin. I don't know how to pronounce people's names. Shelby Mahurin.
I would say that I had a more complicated name to pronounce than you did.
Okay, hold on. But, like, it's spelled M-A-H-U-R-I-N. Shelby how do you say that?
Mahurin?
Shelby Mahurin. Okay. I'm so sorry, Shelby. I just butchered your name. Serpent and Dove. That's what Bronwyn's reading.
Anyway, we'll see you next time.
Let the chaos continue.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.
'Cause this is a situation where you're going to cut a bunch of our blurbs out of context?
No, because then there would be blisters in awkward places, which would be terrible.
Oh, here we go. That is the dirtiest thing I've ever seen.
Listen to The Nerd with Adam, Will, and Amanda.
Why did I get top billing? I don't deserve top billing.
Because out of the two of us, you're the one she likes better.
Aw, man. I mean, yeah.
I'm 8 months pregnant. Put another one in me.
And that's when she figured out that I had taken drugs.
How are all of you? We're going to do a promo, but we're just going to talk sex.
I got to see your dick.
Aw, man. I mean, yeah.
She cooked dinner for me in lingerie, which hopefully she doesn't listen to this because I don't know if I'm supposed to say that.
This podcast phenomenon is sweeping the nation, and we're all up on the bandwagon with the plethora of episodes at nerd.pantspending.com.
Willem Dafoe gives me a lady boner.
Blue Chew is bullshit, by the way.
Listen to The Nerd. It's not the worst thing that can happen to you. Is that a good no? It takes effort to do a promo.
Yeah.
And I think we knew that before.
Although I feel like we could just put that part in.
Yeah.
That along with the nerdy thing Adam said and me with the sexy voice. There you go. There's your promo, Will. Congratulations.
The Nerd. I'm sorry.
And I'm Bronwyn, the younger sister, but not the youngest sister. She gets to sleep in her home. And I'm Bronwyn, the younger sister, but not the youngest sister. She gets to sleep in her own room while Ollie and I shared the, oh my fucking God, it's okay, don't worry.
I'm trying to be really quiet so it'll be easier to edit later.
This is a good sign.
I know.
And
this is good. And now we finally have bloopers again. Yay.
Yay.
We got a little too big for our britches.
Right. This week, we're going to be talking about Fruits Bat. the book that I had Allie read. Oh, wow. Okay. Hold on. So I had Allie read. Wait, what the fuck?
Are you okay?
No.
Oh. Yeah. And I said you can do the clappity claps.
Sorry, I dissociated.
Oh my gosh. Okay, caffeine is not good for us. Sorry.
It's fine.
Also, don't forget to become a patron at help.
Help. Allie, you gotta write your book title.
I was like, why isn't she saying anything? It's her part. Trading Pages is now part of the Pants Pending Studios Entertainment Network. To find out more about Pants Pending Studios and everything it has to offer, visit pantspending.com.